G'day guys, it's Alex from the Tripod. We had a few technical difficulties last time around, so we're going to try it again. Obviously, another really good week last week. We went 13-6 on best bets, so we're still sitting on a run of about 85% on best bets over the past 3 or 4 weeks, which is really good. Let me just get Jacob.
So we'll just wait for Jacob to get on live. Just invited him to the broadcast now. So we'll see if we can't get that going on. Hopefully it works a little bit better than last time around. So shouldn't be too long, lads. So obviously this week, yeah, we'll be breaking down round 17. Once again, good week last week, 13-6 on best bets. And I actually really like the round this week. Jacob, you're there, mate.
Okay, I think we're good. Yeah, sorry about that, lads. I couldn't see the comments, so I couldn't invite my man, Bo. And we need, you know, it's just never as good on your own, is it? So we need the pair of us. And I'm a bit disappointed because I thought I did a good intro. I actually thought I did your job better than you do it. But, you know, at the end of the day, I couldn't make the play when I needed to. And, you know, the class has now prevailed. And here we are. Hopefully break down 17.
You got to be good in those pressure situations, mate. So, no,
it's just... It's a lonely place out there when you're fiddling around and you don't really know what you're doing, and like you think you should be able to hit the right button, but you just can't find it for the love. You know, the harder you try, the more difficult it gets. You know, I don't know if you've ever been in that situation before.
Oh, many a time before. So it's not the first time we've had difficulty finding something. So, but yeah, I was saying we're on a good run. 13-6 on best bets last week, guys, which obviously, as we've explained, are on 50-50 line bets, so $1.50 odds. So that's really good. That's cashing you about $600. And we're on like 82% or something over the past 4 weeks. So we're on a really hot streak, and we'll look to continue that this week. And I was just saying, I love this round, actually.
Yeah, it's a really interesting round, like a bunch of close games. Like, I don't see too many like really easy wins this week. Like, almost every game is going to be really competitive. I think all the spreads are nearly within a try, apart from maybe that Warriors game. And maybe Thursday night's clash just over a try, but a bunch of really competitive games. And yeah, we've got a bunch of, you know, this is our first take, so we haven't discussed the games yet. So it'll be interesting to see which ones we agree on. We usually do agree because we're both, you know, we know what to look for to beat the bookies. But yeah, it's going to be interesting starting with Thursday night.
Yeah, it should be a good one. So we won't do any Origin talk this week. We'll save all that for next Wednesday. And then we'll do a full breakdown of Origin then just before the game. So we'll just run through the round this week.
As you're right, we haven't done a pod since Origin 2, so I actually do want to wax poetic, wax lyrical about JT and the performance by Queensland. We said on the pod a week ago that Queensland was going to win that game, but it was going to be mighty close, and we gave out Queensland by 2. We had a bunch of tips, Queensland 1-12, had Valentine Holmes first try scorer, but I got to admit, I was doubting our pick when they're down 16-6. I mean, you look back at the previous 90 minutes of football, we were losing 40-6. Like, we've been obliterated second half of Origin 1. We got obliterated after scoring the first try in Origin 2. We had no right to come back and win that game. JT with one arm. It was one of the great comebacks I've ever seen. So I'm really proud of the team. I'm proud of our picks because we nailed game 1. We nailed game 2. The only interesting thing that the Origin implications this week is, of course, all the players are playing to get named on Monday. And I think New South Wales will stick with pretty much the same side, although I'd keep my eye out for someone like Tom Trbojevic to get in and get that spot from Brett Morris. There's other guys who wouldn't be guaranteed their spot. I want to ask you this. For Queensland, obviously we've got to replace JT. He's irreplaceable, but we've got to pick someone that gives us a chance to win that decider. So who have you got in the number 7, number 6, I should say, for Queensland in game 3?
Well, I'll tell you this much. It shouldn't be Moses Mbai. I'll tell you fucking that much. But no, it should, in all reality, I mean, I know that they like to, you know, stick with who's there and who's been there, done that. But there's not really anyone that's played multiple origins there for that spot. So I think DCE is the guy that you have to go with. He's the form guy. I think, you know, like Hodjo said, I think you wrote an article about it, but I think he slots in well there with Cooper Cronk, because Cooper Cronk's sort of the solid guy. He's not going to make any mistakes. He makes the right decisions all the time. But you need someone there like, you know, like Thurston, who's going to be a playmaker that's going to actually create some stuff for you. And I think DC is the guy for the job. I think he's, you know, head and shoulders above someone like Mbai. I guess, you know, you've got like Corey Norman and, you know, Morgan and those sorts of guys there. But I think DC is the choice, honestly.
Yeah, scratch Corey Norman because he's never played rep footy and we can't trust him in defence as much as he is, like, an interesting proposition. You need skill to be able to break down the New South Wales defence. You need a good kicking game. There's three options I can see. You've got Michael Morgan, who's been in the Australia team, been in the Queensland team. Just bring him off the bench and bring him in there. My issue is he's such a good impact player off the bench that I actually prefer to keep him in the 14. I think it's a lot of pressure on Morgan to start him and play him 80 minutes in the halves. Another option thrown around there is Munster. The best thing he's got going for him is that he's in the Storm team already, and then you would literally have a complete Melbourne Storm spine, 1, 6, 7, and 9. So I do like that. But again, it's so much pressure on Munster. I haven't really seen a lot of him in his kicking game. You have to be able to force repeat sets. Your kicking game has to be on point in a game, especially like this, more than any other. And the third option is my favourite as well. I'm agreeing with you. Daly Cherry-Evans, people don't want to see it. We've panned Cherry-Evans plenty of times. We said it was a joke that he got $10 million. He's actually playing better this season than he even played before he earned that contract. He's actually been awesome. He's got a Manly side that nobody rated before the season in the top four. He's played rep footy before. I think he's even sat on the bench for Australia before. He's been in the Origin team before. Got a great kicking game. He's the guy we've got to choose. Then we can keep Morgan on the bench. And if we still want to pick Munster, well, we've got to replace Darius Boyd in the back line, although I think Oates will come in. But I'm saying Cherry-Evans as well. And, you know, that is going to play a factor in this weekend. Cherry-Evans might think that, you know, Manly needs to get a win for him to definitely get that spot. So definitely interesting to see how that plays out too this weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. So it should be good either way. But yeah, I don't think we have to make the right choice there in the halves. I think, you know, there has been some talk floating around about Merson Bowen. I think it would be a catastrophe for Queensland if he was picked. But speaking of Mbaye, we got Thursday night game, Eels hosting the Bulldogs. Eels are 6.5-point favourites, 38.5 the total. How do you see this one, mate?
So Cody just mentioned, why is no one mentioning Ash Taylor? You know, a week ago when the Titans did win, I actually thought Ash Taylor's a future Queensland player. I love this game, but no, not ready for Origin 3. This is the biggest game in history in about 20 days' time or whenever that game is. But as you say, tomorrow night's an interesting one. For me, I think the Eels just have, like, the far superior back line. They've finally got, like, all the troops back together with Bevan French back in the side. Moses worked in there. And then for the Doggies, you've got, I mean, Eastwood doesn't move the needle for me, but James Graham being out, that is a big loss. But I would say James Graham's actually gotten to the point where he's overrated this season. I actually don't think they'll miss him as much, especially in the first half, because he's a very fit player. But they still have a hell of a back row. Who's that bloke? Adam Elliott is really killing it in the back row. And then, of course, you've got Jackson and Clemmer, like two guys who will definitely play a good game to want to stamp themselves that this is their last chance to, you know, make sure they their jerseys going into the third game. So as much as I do like the Eels and I like the effort that they give you, they've lost Kaiser Pritchard, which is a big loss. It's a big loss at the number nine position. And Bo Scott as well, who's experienced in the back row. So they've lost some key guys too that they do bring back in Moreira. You know what? We hate to do it, but the Doggies is probably the value here. I especially do like the Dogs +4 in the first half because I think maybe the Parramatta backline can take over the game late and when players are tired. But I think early, the Dogs can make it a grind. I've also seen Parramatta's team total under in the first half, and I like that too.
Yep, I'm totally on the same page as you, as surprising as it is, because I hate the Bulldogs, but I think having Reynolds back in there is a real boost. I like actually eight sides. I actually really like eight sides this week, like a side in each game. And the Doggies is actually the side that I like the least out of all those eight, but I still think the line's, you know, it's too high. It shouldn't be over six. Although, you know, the Dogs in offense struggle a lot. You're going to have him buy in there, you know, playing as well as he possibly can, as solid as he possibly can, to hopefully get that Origin call up. Brett Morris back in is a big plus. What I also like, and I think it's the best spot for the Eels. I mean, for the Bulldogs, you've got them coming off a loss, but it was all the way back on Friday, so they've pretty much had a full week to recover. Coming off loss, they'll be hungry. And I do like taking a team, you know, the Eels are off the bye. I like taking a team when they've gotten spanked the week before because you just know they're dialed in at training. But the Eels had a comfortable win over the Dragons the week before the bye, so it's not a great spot for them. I think the total, you know, it screams under to me, these two teams. Especially with Mbaye sort of playing for an Origin jersey. They're going to play a bit more safe, a bit more solid. Both teams pretty desperate for a win. I see this one trending under, and I do like the Bulldogs, surprisingly enough.
So we might like an Eels as well.
Yeah. Friday early game, we've got the Titans hosting the Dragons. This one's pick 'em. So basically what that means is both sides are $1.90 to win and 40.5 the total.
I'm interested to see which way you're leaning on this one, because this game, I think it is very close to a 50-50. You know, I really was scratching my head saying, every bookie's got them at $1.92 each. And I was thinking, you know, gun to my head, who would I pick to win this game? The Dragons, you know, were just absolutely woeful for that 20-minute period where they conceded 28 straight points against the Knights. But they still won that game, and they're going to take that, you know, as like a real kick in the teeth and definitely try and be better for 80 minutes this week. They get back Ewan Aitken, which is, a big in for them, because they've been missing a bit of flair in the outside backs. But of course they get back DeBellend, but they lose Paul Vaughan, who didn't really play last week because he got injured first minute. But it's been, the best prop in the whole comp. So definitely a big loss for the Titans. Probably the strongest side they've put on the park all season as well. And I'm actually going to be siding with the Titans in this one, because I think that they've got the healthiest side that they can field. They're at home. Not that they have a strong home field advantage, but I'd give them a point or two edge just for the Dragons to have to travel there. And, you know, it's a big game for both sides, but it's absolutely season on the line for the Titans. And you don't actually feel that dumb betting on the Titans most weeks, because they do give 100% effort. And I expect that. I expect a bloody close game, but I would have to side with the Titans.
Yeah, I'm on the other side of you to this one, actually. I do like the Dragons in this one. I think, you know, despite Paul Vaughan being out, getting to Bellin back and Ewan Aitken back is a big boost. I think, like you said, Tyron Roberts and McQueen are back for the Titans. So that boosts their roster as well. But just from a situational standpoint, I think from last week, the Dragons having just escaped versus the Knights, they know they're a better team than that. And they just got into a big hole early, and they're not going to treat that as a win. They're almost going to treat that as a loss. I think they come in hungry for this one. I think they're the better roster, despite being away from home. I think that obviously the Titans had a big win over the Tigers last week. The Tigers were absolutely disgraceful. That scoreline, I don't know what they won by. Double digits it was anyway. But the Tigers were terrible. Lola here was horrible. Brooks was horrible. So I think that's a phony win. I think the Dragons, they'll get some confidence from that one, but they won't, they won't be lackadaisical in practice this week. I'll tell you that much. I think the Dragons are the better outfit. It's possible rain for the day. I think the Dragons have a bigger forward pack if the rain doesn't clear by the arvo. The Titans forward pack is probably their weakness. And I just think the Dragons get the win, especially if it's a little bit wet.
But, in saying that, the Tigers were shit, but it was basically a training run for the Titans. They actually only won by 12 points, but watching that game, you felt like they could have won by 30. And I think that's an advantage to them, the fact they played Friday night and against a team that was shit versus the Dragons, who had to fight to the bitter end on Sunday. That you've got to factor that in, that that's worth about a point as well coming into this Friday clash. So those little factors is what gave me, the slight lean to the Titans, but I probably agree with you. The Dragons are probably the slightly better roster, especially benching McCrone, who has been a big steaming shit this year. So maybe when we're on the opposite sides of a game and we're staying away from it. That's a good way to make money. If you're not sure, if you're not confident, you just don't bet the game, because we're betting $11 to win 10. If you keep doing that on true 50-50s, you lose money. So we'll put our heads together a little more, but it sounds like we may not have a play on that game.
Yeah, that's right. And we've said all throughout the season, that's why, putting your heads together, even if it's with a mate or whatever, just chatting about the game. If you have opposite opinions and you value that opinion, then it's probably best to stay away from the game. And that's what we do. If we're on opposite sides, then we don't give it out as the best bet. Friday night game, this will be a cracker. We've got the Broncos plus 2 to 2.5 points hosting the Storm, 37.5 the total.
And you may be flat out finding 2. I think it's a consensus -2.5, and it could almost be moving to 3.5 is not much different to 2.5, but could be moving to 4 across the board. And I've already posted about this in our group. And if you were in our group, you actually got the Storm to win at $1.75 straight up, not laying any points. And that's on Bet365, where you don't lose if it goes to golden points. So that's, a little bit of extra insurance as well. And that was a great play, because now Storm, I think, across the board is in the $1.60s range. And the Storm's going to win this game. They nearly bloody beat the Roosters last week, resting the big four. or the Storm. This is probably my most confident pick of the round. The Storm is just an absolute juggernaut. I mean, look at those their key players that didn't play last week. They defend so well. I know that they did 2 weeks in a row have let in a pair of late tries both times and, you know, survived against the Cowboys, didn't survive against the Roosters. But that, if anything, only makes them even hungrier. There's a story this week that Bellamy's being a bit coy about who's going to play. I guarantee you they're all going to play because Origin team gets picked on Mondays and then these guys can't play next week. So, I mean, this team is only 2 points clear for the minor premiership. That means something to them to definitely, you know, keep banking wins and lock up that top two and the minor premiership. It's the best side in the comp for me, right up there with the Roosters. The Broncos have lost Darius Boyd. They still don't have the milk for starting Benji Marshall. What more do I need to say? The Storm's going to win this game by at least a try.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. The Storm's the side. There's a few reasons for me. I think, like you said, you've got the big three coming off rest, a full, you know, 10 days rest for this one, which is massive. Not only that, I think the Broncos had a phony win last week. The Raiders were absolute shit. They were poo, disgraceful. And the Broncos won on a last-second try, which made the margin 10. So what I'm saying is that it was I guess the win looked a little bit better than it was. I thought that the Raiders, you know, they hung in there despite how badly they played. I think it's really good, actually, that the Storm just lost last week. I think the whole team will come in a little bit more fired up this week coming off a loss. But not only that, I think that because they just lost and they came so close to, you know, premiership contenders in the Roosters, I think the average Joe thinks, oh, fuck, you know, maybe, you know, Cooper Cronk, you know, Slater and Cam Smith aren't that great. You know, Bellamish is such a good coach. He can slot anyone in there and they can still compete. So I think some people are maybe underrating how good those three are. And that's going to be a huge boost. I mean, you see the line move when they're out. It was like 10 to 12 points, the line move. So I think the Storm are at least 6 points better on a you know, power ranking scale than the Broncos. So I think the line that we have is really good. I think there's no doubt in my mind that they get the win this week. Moving on to Saturday games, we've got the Roosters technically hosting the Sharks. Roosters are 2.5-point favourites. The total is 38.5, but it is being played on the Central Coast.
Yeah, I might surprise you on this one. I don't know. I'm actually here to tell you that I think the Sharks are going to win this game. Do you agree with that?
No, I don't.
I had a feeling that you were going to like the Roosters. And when I first looked at it, my instinct is, I think the Roosters is one of the best two teams in the comp right there with the Storm. And I think the Sharks aren't that great this year. And I think it's just going to be so hard to, you know, repeat what they did last year. In fact, I'm almost certain they're not going to. But look, I will tell you this. We bet against the Sharks on Sunday afternoon with Manly. And we get the win comfortably, getting +4.5, and Manly wins by 13 points in the end. But come game time, I was a bit nervous with all five Origin players backing up for the Sharks. Still a very strong team on paper, and I have a feeling this is a week that they do get it together and they're actually going to give like an absolute A performance here. I think it's a huge game for the Sharkies because I think they'd be really disappointed with their effort last Sunday, and they're completely full strength. I know Jaden Brayley got injured, but... and he hasn't played well, to be fair, so maybe not completely full strength, but still with all the other boys around there. And for the Roosters, you know, Boyd Cordon not being there, still massive. Takeaho not being there is massive as well, as deep as that side is. And you're getting points with the with the Sharks, and sharp money has come for the Sharks because it was +3.5, +2.5 everywhere. I've seen it go down to 2 with the +2 actually the favourite, even on places like Bet365, which is one of your sharper bookmakers. So I actually want to take that +3.5 with the Sharks. In fact, I do actually think they win outright. I just think this is a game where they do recapture the form from last year. They feed it to the Chooks.
Yeah, I don't think so. I still think the Roosters, despite, you know, like you said, Cordon being out, they're still fielding a better roster than the Sharks are. I know it's on a neutral venue, but in my eyes, the Sharks are not contenders. They're not a top 8 side, even in my eyes. I think the Roosters are easily, you know, one of the top 3 sides talent-wise in the comp. You've got them coming off last week, which is, you know, a similar sort of thing, you know, where they're not going to treat that as a very good win. It wasn't a convincing win. They struggled to, you know, beat a B-grade Storm roster. I don't think they're going to be content with that. They're going to come up fired up for this one. And similar to the rest theory where we went against the Sharkies last week, it was a perfect spot for Manly, you're right. And we did take Manly. We said they'd win the game outright, and they absolutely came out and smoked them. But for the Sharks' five best players, those origin reps, you've got them playing their third game in 11 days. I think that is absolutely grueling. So I think that the Roosters are just the better team. They're in a much better situational spot. And I think they get the win here. And I think 2.5 is actually fairly cheap. I would lay a flat 2, certainly, if I found it. And likewise, if the Roosters win this one, actually, we cash our Roosters future bet that we made at the start of the year over 11.5 wins. So they only need one more. That was a great bet.
I mean, teams play 24 games, and we gave out the Roosters at even money to win more than 11.5. So just to win half their games, that was such easy money. That was stealing. If you want Roosters minus 2, it's already out there. Like I told you, you can get it. I mean, your point about 3 games in 11 days, the Roosters also have 4 blokes playing Origin, I think. So it's kind of like also...
They had the bye week. Like, this kind of...
Pardon me?
Bye week before.
But they still played last Saturday, so this is still their third game in 11 days. But yeah, maybe a slightly fresher squad. But I really strongly, would be putting my own money on the Sharkies this week. I think that they haven't wowed punters because they haven't played good footy. And they can play a lot better than the way they've played. But, I had a feeling you'd be on the Roosters. And we do love the Roosters, but I had a feeling that they may not be that great this week. But we'll see. We'll talk a little bit more about that one.
Sounds good. That's halfway through. I think before we get into the next 4 games, so we should explain a little bit about, the group. And we're giving away a shitload of free bets this week. Ladbrokes has hooked us up with $500 in free bets to give away, as well as our regular giveaway. So there's going to be $700 in total in bonus bets given away this weekend. So make sure you join the group. The giveaways will start tomorrow for the Eels-Bulldogs game. So get ready, get in the group, and you'll be in with a chance to win a bunch of cash. So moving on to the Saturday games, we've got the Sea Eagles laying 6.5 points against the Warriors, 40.5 the total, and it looks like a Sea Eagles home game, but it's in Perth, this one.
Yeah, it's another interesting one to test out your power rankings. I mean, you probably have to keep raising Manly, and we knew that Manly was a really good side, but they've been overperforming probably everybody's expectations. And I spoke earlier about how good Cherry's playing. He's part of it. But now that Tom Trbojevic is back, because obviously he was injured for a few weeks, I mean, he's awesome out the back for them. Jake Trbojevic is awesome as well. And the forward pack in general, Marty Tapau, Rejuvenator, I mean, I could go through the whole lot of them. It's a great team that you don't really want to bet against. But the only way I can look in this one is the Warriors, believe it or not. Everyone knows I love Warriors. In Perth, it's the furthest possible trip that they could do, obviously, and you do worry about that. And that's why I think I would be playing the Warriors first half, because I think if they don't show up first half, they're not going to stand much of a chance in this game. Now, +6.5, it's a bit like the Bulldogs. You can get +4 in the first half, which I like, because I think maybe Manly grinds them down, but +4 is pretty solid. You kind of need to get beat by a try, and Manly doesn't have the best kicker. I know they've upgraded from Walker, but still... that would be the side I'd be looking, and also maybe an under in tries, Manly, and especially first half, I think Warriors can at least shot for a half and then maybe fatigue gets them.
Yeah, I'm totally on the same side with you for these ones. I do like the Warriors, and the line's a touch high. Obviously you got Foran coming back, you got Isaac Luke out, but I think, having Foran back is much more important. The Warriors have got 3 extra days prep. That's pretty important as well, especially when you've got a bunch of travel time. But I think, for a technical Sea Eagles home game, Perth is probably the best possible neutral venue that you could play, someone from the Sydney area if you're New Zealand. You've got a 5-hour flight as opposed to, whatever it is, 10 or something. I also like the under, not only because there's rain scheduled for that day and the day before, so the pitch will be soggy, but I also think that because Cherry's pretty much playing for an Origin jersey, I think when these guys are, in the lead-up, the last game playing for an Origin jersey, they don't throw it round as much as they normally would. I think they try and keep it solid. They try and get repeat sets. They try and do solid kicks. They don't go for anything too flashy. So I think in the rain, it's going to be a grinded-out type game. Not only that, you've got neutral venue, the lights are different, the pitch is different, just just the surroundings are different. So when you're kicking conversions and that kind of thing and just going up for high bombs, it's a little bit, you know, obviously different for you. So they tend to be a little bit lower scoring. So I'm totally with you. I like the Warriors and I like the under. The next Saturday game, we've got the Raiders minus 4 points hosting the Cowboys, 41.5 the total.
And I know that everybody wants to give up on the Raiders, and they were, like, as you said earlier, they were really shit on Saturday night. So had that game won against Brisbane, just getting control, and I think after conceding an early try, they then were leading something like 16-10 or 16-12. You've got to find a way to win that one off the bye and playing for their season. But I'm just not quite willing to give up on them because they are at home here. The Cowboys is a completely different story. They won a game they probably shouldn't have won with a late try and a, you know, crazy conversion. That was awesome. And that's a huge high for this team. But the fact is, this team just can't go very far, very much further with no JT. The ceiling's just been dropped so much. They lost Matt Scott earlier in the year. They're going to lose this game too. And I think the Raiders will roll. And I'm surprised, actually, the line's coming down. I think it's just because no punters have faith to take the Raiders anymore. But we do. We're braver than most. And I'm sure you're going to be agreeing with me and wanting to lay the minus four with the Raiders.
I am, yeah. I was going to see if there's a minus 3.5 there, but I'd take a flat four with the Raiders as well. I think it's the perfect spot for them. I mean, who would have thought we... You know, I still think talent-wise, the Raiders are a top six team roster-wise. And they're pretty much full strength. But they're on a four-game losing streak. You know, they're still pretty rested. You know, they didn't really have any Origin players through the period. They're off the bye, and then that phony loss against Broncos last week, whereas, like you said, the Cowboys were off a pretty phony win where they needed a sideline conversion from someone that wasn't JT to win the game. So not only that, you've got injured player theory, and just a basic rundown of that for you is when, you know, one of your best players or your best player gets injured, the team often lifts the very next game and really puts in. And then that's what we saw last week. And then they sort of fall flat the next week. And not only that, but your average punter thinks, oh, fuck, you know, now the Cowboys can win without JT. Maybe he doesn't mean that much to the team. That's not the case here. Plus, we've got revenge from the Raiders from all the way back in round one. If you remember, they lost in Golden Point by 1 point. They won't forget that. The Raiders are going to steamroll the Cowboys in freezing conditions down in Canberra. It's going to be about 4 degrees. They are going to pump them.
Yeah, and the people who are going to bet on the Cowboys in this game are going to say, oh, the Raiders are nowhere near what they were last season. The Raiders aren't good. But I've watched the Raiders. I've watched this four-game losing streak. They've been pretty good just in patches. They easily could have won the Manly game. They let in a ball-breaking length of the field try, and they end up losing in Golden Point in that one. They had the Penrith game completely won and conceded 2 late tries. We said that they had the Broncos game won. I can't remember even who the other one was that they blew, but they're actually only one...
Lost to Manly. Play-
Yeah. Away. Well, yeah, I mentioned that one, but yeah, like they're only one or two players away from winning these games by a trial more, like, and it's gonna click for them, and they're the kind of team that when it clicks for them, then things get ugly real fast. So yeah, I think we both love Raiders laying points there.
Yeah, sounds good. Moving on to Sunday, the match of the round, Battle of the Wooden Spoon. We got the Knights hosting the Tigers. The Knights have moved into 1.5 point favourites, and the total is 43.5. What a fun one.
Yeah, it's another game. I just do not, I just don't want any part of it. And I look at it and, like, I think, who would I actually, if I had to bet my life, who would I take to win this game? And I really struggle. And, you know, and I have to say the Tigers have the better roster, but you just don't know what to expect from the Tigers. Like, do they try really hard because they know they should actually be able to win this one? Or is this season just a complete wash for them? Whereas with the Knights, it's not as good of a roster, but you actually do know you're getting effort with them. It's just that it's a team full of kids that, you know, are going to make mistakes. And it's a brutal loss for them last week against the Dragons. Like, is there a letdown from that? To score 28 straight points and not win the game, I don't know if that's ever happened before. To score 28 straight points in 90 minutes, get a penalty, get your third set in a row on the Dragons line with 2 minutes to go, you're winning by 16 points, and the coach comes through and says, take the two. Nathan Brown, this wasn't the grand final. You are coaching a bunch of kids that are trying to learn, that had momentum, if you've heard of momentum before. Let them score their sixth try of the half. We had someone in our group who tipped over at 7.5 tries in the first half. Needed one more try. It was paying 151-1. never mind that, if the Knights did score a try in that set, which they looked like they were going to, they scored every set before that, they win. If they get up 32-10 at half time, they win. But instead, he kicks the two. Well, how'd those 2 points work out for you because you lost the game by four? Guns in my head. I guess the Knights will win this one. I don't know. Actually, you know what? I'm also conflicted because I think maybe both teams are desperate to try and win this game and it will actually go under when everyone's expecting to go over. On the other hand, did the Tigers just say, let's not give a fuck, let's go and throw it around and let's like play to our strengths and make an open game for guys like Teddy and Lalahea? So I've got no feel for this game. What about you?
Yeah, it's one of those ones where it's, before I even saw the lines and the totals and everything, I was assuming this one would be the highest total of the round. It generally is the case where you've got, you know, the Knights who tend to throw it around a little bit, the Tigers tend to throw it around a bit, both make a lot of mistakes. Two teams pretty much playing for fuck all. They do tend to trend over. And when I thought of the total in my head, I thought it would be the highest of the round. I thought it would be roughly 46.5. It's not. It's 43.5. I think it's slightly too low. I do think that, you know, although both teams are going to want to get a win, they both still throw the fuck out of the ball. Just with the halves they have there, they like to throw it around. There's going to be a lot of mistakes made. There could be an intercept or two. So I really do think that 43.5 is probably, you know, 3.5 points too low for the total. But yeah, I actually like the Tigers. You said they have a better roster, and I do agree with you. I think I rate Lalahea. I know he's just sort of settling in there, and Brooks hasn't been great, but I think that across the park, they've got the better roster overall. Obviously, getting Teddy back this week helps. But this is how I see this one. The Knights absolutely shat the bed last week. They should have won. And I'll tell you what, with this, what you like to do with good teams is when they have a loss where they should have won, or when they just have a loss in general, you like to back bet on them the next week because good teams bounce back. Bad teams fucking get deflated with these games that they should have won, and then they have to come back the next week and do it all again. I mean, you just have to look at the Tigers 2 weeks ago. They should have beaten the Sharks, ended up losing by, what, 2 or 4 points? And then they turn around the week after and just absolutely shit the bed against the Titans, put in a terrible performance. So it's tough for these teams the bad teams to string together good performances in a row. And I think this is a huge letdown spot for the Knights. I think they come out flat. Their season's over, and I think the Tigers get a win here in a high-scoring, fun game. The late Sunday game, we've got the Rabbits plus 3.5 points hosting the Panthers, 43.5 the total as well.
Speaking of high scoring, actually, this is one of the higher totals of the round. I've seen 43.5. Yep. I think I've even seen 44. I'm not sure why. I know that Penrith's been in a lot of high-scoring games. I think this one's so important for both sides. Penrith, you know, ninth on the ladder. I do believe that Penrith really, you know, has no excuse why they shouldn't be making the top eight this season. I know they had a terrible start, but from where they are situated right now, you know, terrible loss up against North Queensland. That's the kind of side you're competing with for a top eight spot. But they've got to come out now pretty close to full healthy. They've got a guy called Jed Cartwright who's been picked in the squad. We need to check that he's not related to Bryce because if he is, that might change your confidence in Penrith. Because, you know, and you just don't know if he's going to pull out or what's going to happen with anyone called Cartwright. But the Bunnies, don't underestimate the Bunnies. They are actually quite a solid outfit and they're kind of fully healthy too. So I actually love this game under. But you've got two absolute dead-eye kickers in Reynolds and Cleary, Nathan Cleary. So I like the game under the try line of 7.5 tries. So I think if there's 8 tries, it could be, you know, 46 plus points, 48 points in this one. But I think 7.5 tries is quite a great number there because both sides can actually defend. And this game's going to mean a lot for both sides.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I love the under in this one. And yeah, I know I initially said that I liked 8 sides. And I remember initially when I looked at the slate, I was like, oh, fuck, I really like the Panthers in this one. But I looked a little bit closer. You know, you've got Souths coming off the bye. They're in a better spot than the Panthers. You know, obviously, Panthers lost in a close one last week, but you've got the travel factor as well. They have to go all the way to Townsville, then back. So, yeah, it's a stay away from the side, but you're right. The total is too high. It's 43.5, and if you've seen 44, that's money. But under the 7.5 tries is better because, obviously, you've got two dead-eye kickers. But, yeah, you get Sam Burgess back now. So that adds, you know, well, I guess some defense as well and some drop pill. But I think that I cannot bet on Souths in this one just until they move Cody Walker back into the halves. I mean, what the fuck were they doing? The Souths were rolling when they had Walker and Reynolds in the halves. And as soon as they made the, you know, indefensible decision to move Sutton into the halves, who fucking kicks grubbers into the grandstand, then they have not been doing as well. So I can't bet on Souths, but I just think they're in a better spot off the bye with the Panthers with the travel factor as well. So, yeah, the line's probably right, but the total's too high.
Yeah, Walker's not even at home at fullback, so they've downgraded at fullback because Alex Johnston was playing awesome there and they've downgraded at 5'8". So I'm glad you made that point because I hate that. If anything, they've downgraded their attack by their shitty positioning, so that's good for an under total as well. And I think that that's someone already telling us to hurry up. I think that was the final game of the round, so plenty of opinions we've got. So what we're going to do is put our heads together and actually look through every bookie that we use. We use pretty much every bookie we can to find the best lines, the best prices. And we're going to post them all up in our group probably tomorrow morning. So that's why you want to be in the group. The link is in the video description. Plus all the giveaways, as Alex said, $500 just on Ladbrokes giveaway. And we give away free bets on every other bookie too. So there's plenty of reasons to get involved and follow all the tips.
Yep, sounds good, mate. So we've probably gone well over time anyway, so that should do us for this week. I don't know if I can end the video because I've been invited, but anyway, we'll catch you guys next week. But make sure you join the group. Link is in the post.
Thanks for tuning in, guys.